Mini Toons, episode 18. This is Cecine from the Sailor Moon Obsession blog. With us is our very lovely Eku.
Hi, everybody.
And also our very handsome Brad.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys? How's it going?
I'm fabulous.
Super.
You guys don't sound super fabulous, but okay.
Actually, I'm really exhausted.
That too.
Yes.
But I'm glad to be here. Always fun.
Yay, I'm glad.
This is going to be the tiredest podcast ever.
I know, guys. We might. But we'll pull through for you guys, and we're going to make this a fun one for all, because we got a lot of interesting things. We have a lot of interesting things to talk about.
Actually, probably the most, full podcast episode we've had in a while.
And even though there's no news. but
well, no news that we want.
Exactly. But there's a lot of tiny news, and we'll get to them.
That we don't want.
All right. Let's just start, as we always start, by the little things. So, volume 10 of the manga is out with Sailor Saturn on the cover. So, yes, I'm guilty as charged. I have not read it, and I think Eku here is with me.
I'm with you.
We did not read it. Yes, terrible moonies, we know. But Brad has read it, of course, and as usual, he always tweets as he's reading them, and it seemed that this time around was a pretty good translation, right, Brad?
Yeah, it was really good. They got a whole new, brand new translator. They got rid of the old one, brought this new woman on called Mari Morimoto, and she was really good. You probably know if you listen to my other podcasts or read my reviews that I found the dialogue in the previous issues to be really kind of awkward sounding and just didn't really flow as well as the original Japanese or even the Tokyopop version. But this new translator, she did a much better job. Where I was reading, Volume 9 and Volume 10. And, I was reading it, and I was actually just enjoying it.
Oh, cool.
Where with previous volumes, I don't know what it was, just I would be reading it, and I'd be like, this is really an effort to read.
Yeah.
But with these two volumes, I was reading it, and I was just enjoying the Sailor Moon manga for what it was, which was just, I don't know, it was a relief. And it was like, finally, after 9 volumes, 4 volumes toward the end of the series, they got a good translator, and it sounds really good. So, I recommend if you've dropped the series. I know a few people have because of the dialogue. Pick up 9 and 10, and you might be surprised. There are a few issues still here and there. I think there were a few typos in 9. I think one character name was wrong, but like a very small thing. Like I think Ray's grandfather, instead of being called Kenji, he got called Kanji.
Oh,
or something.
No. Yeah.
So like a small typo like that. And there are a few issues in 10 with a lot of kind of Shakespearean English being used in the past life flashbacks. with them saying like, who art thou? And which was a bit of a pain to read through because they weren't speaking any formal Japanese in the original.
Okay.
And it was a bit forced. But overall, a really, really good read. So I'm glad they listened to the fans.
Mm-hmm.
And actually made an effort to improve the quality of the reading. And overall, like, I do mistake guides for my site.
Yeah.
And previous issues, it was like a whole, like, list of maybe like 20 issues with each volume. And that's just kind of the main issues, not the overall general awkward dialogue issues. And but with these two volumes, only about 3 or 4 points for each volume.
Huge and, progress.
And that was really searching for issues, too.
Wow.
So, a big, big improvement. So I'm glad because the Super's arc is my favorite in the manga.
Mm-hmm.
And now we've got the Sailor Stars arc in volumes 11 and 12, which are coming out May and July, I think.
Yes.
And then the main series will be finished. And then, of course, short stories after that.
Yes.
So I'm glad they've kind of picked it up and just in time for the best story arc.
It's great. I mean, like you said, they were like, at first, I think they kind of resented the fans because they were saying, oh, you guys don't appreciate the effort that we're making to bring it to you. But really, they weren't making that much effort in the translations. But like you said, you know, glad they picked that up and yay!
Now, Brad, didn't I read you hypothesize that the new translator might have just retooled some of the language.
Like, yeah.
The use of the word aberrant just sticking around.
Yeah, it is quite strange because we were told way back when the series was first announced that William Flanagan, the original translator, had translated every volume all in one go before the original release. And we've seen since then that that some preview pages had different dialogue than the eventual releases of some volumes, suggesting that maybe they'd gone back and kind of redone them or tried to make the dialogue sound more natural. And I was wondering if Morimoto just came on and didn't so much translate from scratch, where just took his script and then basically rewrote every line of dialogue. Because, yeah, there's some words like aberrant, which is such an unusual word, but William Flanagan used it so many times. The last three volumes of his volumes,
yeah,
that it became almost like a drinking game. it was ridiculous. And I think everyone, even the most forgiving fans of the series, were just like, what was with that word? It was like Sesame Street's word of the day kind of thing. I even joked, it was like, volume 7 is brought to you by the word aberrant. And it's a bit of a coincidence that these two different translators both use the word aberrant and malefic. So that kind of made me wonder if it wasn't so much a retranslation, more just grabbed what had been already done and improved it.
And, you know, she had a very short time frame to do it. So I think you're not so far off from what's true. So
yeah, but also I think she's been in the industry a lot longer. Yeah. And she's definitely a lot more qualified. And she doesn't work as much as William Flanagan, because I think he's doing like almost every single manga on the shelf right now. He's doing like 30 volumes a month or something. He's doing like Pokemon and was it Kobato and like Gate 7 and like everything.
Oh.
Where I don't think she's doing that much. So she's probably got more free time and to put more effort in.
Yes.
But at least the sound effects are a lot better.
Yeah.
One of my biggest issues were like he wasn't using English translations of the Japanese sound effects, and he wasn't using just writing out the Japanese sound effects. He was replacing them with just random other sound effects, which weren't English or Japanese.
That thing
and
didn't
people,
make
people
sense.
Were reading it going, oh, that's just the Japanese sounds. And I'm like, no, it's not. The Japanese sounds, I can read the Japanese. That's completely different.
Yeah. Like, they didn't make sense in Japanese or in English. They were just his own made-up words.
Yeah, and you couldn't read them. It was like TZK. M or something, like, to how do I use that? Why can't you just write crash, you know? So a lot of them are much, much better. Cats go meow, and when they punch, they go wham, instead of shikashikha or something. So it's very good. We're very, very happy with the new translator.
Cool. I hope you're listening, Kodansha. We like her.
yes. And
the next volume is out when? And May, oh yeah, you said, never mind. What's the
May
next
7. But of course, if you're like these two lovely ladies who haven't read 9 and 10 yet. First things first, ladies.
Yes.
I've read it, I just haven't read this translation.
I wish Sissim could say this.
I know. I was keeping silent. I was hiding in my corner because I don't want to admit to it. I'm just behind. I'm on 8. I'll get there.
You're like, the sailor, the cauldron, what's that?
Yes, I have no idea what that is. So, Brad, you also were telling us about something that somebody tweeted you about finding the books in the library, and then what?
Yeah, so, this was cool. Actually, in the Sailor Moon forums, which I still call the GenVid forums, apparently in America, there are special library editions of books that pop up in libraries. And there's apparently a hardcover release of Kodansha's manga in the library, apparently. So if you're in the US, head down to your library and you can check out these library editions, which are hardcover volumes of the manga.
So are we sure that they're like hardcover from the printer?
No, it's been confirmed. Actually, quite a few people have seen them as well. And it's like hardcover. Basically the same volumes, like, that we're getting, but the covers are, like, hard, not the regular paperback that we get, like, in the stores that we can buy. So you can't buy these. You can only see them in libraries and rent them, but because they're library editions. But yeah, you can't buy these. So if you want to buy them, you have to wait until the library's selling off all their excess stock,
yeah.
or lose it and then pay like a few hundred dollars or something for replacing a book.
But it'll be unique.
Oh man, I want one bad.
Yeah.
Go head out to your local library. I'm kind of curious about this now, so let us know if you find anything. Well, we're going to continue with other random news. And the next thing on our list is the news that Sailor Stars came out in Chile, like the DVDs. And we've mentioned Chile a lot on this podcast because they also had this thing where the songs didn't come out because there was a singer from Chile that she wanted her songs to be used in the talk boxes instead of with the original singer. It's been a mess. I'm not saying it's good or bad. I'm just going to say that Chile is very vocal. Chile is very passionate. And they love their Sailor Moon, like big time. So
and they make their own Sailor Moon drama.
So a lot of people were asking me, why did they start at Stars and not like classic, like normal DVD series? So I'm just going to explain this really fast, you know, just to keep everyone else like in the loop. The translation that was used in all Latin America was Mexican. Even those countries, they got it, and they're slowly also getting the talk boxes. The problem is the talk boxes are really expensive. And they're even more expensive for other countries because the international shipping rates are crazy. Like, the one talk box is, like, it's half a season, and it costs $50. So for only one season of Sailor Moon, you're paying more than $100. And plus shipping, it's almost another $100. So you're paying almost $200 for one season, basically. And for low-income countries, like most of South America is, unfortunately, it's a big, big price. It's a huge price tag, and it's not very easy to get these. Actually, the guys at Capital Ocho, which are the people who are making this, the talk boxes, they are aware that it's expensive, which is why they're making so many extras. They give you the mugs, they give you posters, they give you postcards, because they're aware that it's expensive and they don't want Moonies to go out and buy a pirated edition. They weren't so sure that they were going to sell as much as needed. You know, they have a minimum requirement to, you know, break even. They didn't want to risk it and buy the license all the way to Stars because they wanted to see how the sales panned out. So Stars remained unlicensed. So what did Chile do? They're like, we want Sailor Moon. I think we're going to go for that last season that isn't licensed. And they can't purchase the other seasons because Mexico has it. So this is why we got DVDs in Chile and DVDs in Mexico. And one of them, the Mexican ones are talk boxes, and the Chile ones, even though they're the same dub, they're not talk boxes, they're just regular DVDs.
So does Mexico have Sailor Stars?
I talked to some of the editors at Capital Ocho, and they said yes, they don't currently have it, but because of the type of contract that they have with Toei, Toei can't deny them the rights to that. Like, even though Chile has been denied the rights for now of the rest of the series, I guess once Capital... I know it's confusing, but anyway, I guess once Capital 8 rights expire because they have an expiration date, then I'm assuming Chile is going to come in and take the other rights for the rest of the series. In other words, we are going to get talk boxes for all of the seasons and the Chilean versions of the DVDs for all of the seasons as well.
They're going to have to act quickly, because isn't the DVD region the same?
Yes, it's the same.
So can't people in Chile just buy talk boxes from 1 to 4 and then get their Sailor Stars?
Absolutely.
And then likewise, Mexico can just import Chile's Sailor Stars, right?
Right. The new DVDs in Chile come out in, like, a few weeks. They're at a good price, and they're going to be weekly, because also with the talk boxes, they're taking forever. And at least in Chile, we're going to have once a week DVDs. That's very good. But I really don't want two different kinds of DVDs. I bought the American version, the one with the blue box. What is it? ADV or
ADV? I believe that was ADV.
Yeah, I got season 1 and 2 because the boxes were gorgeous, and then the rest I have bootlegs, and it's not good.
Those Chilean DVDs, they have like 3 episodes a piece on them?
Yes, 4. 4 episodes a, four episodes a CD. So there's going to be a total of 9 CDs only for Save the Stars.
CD?
DVD, sorry. This is completely official. Oh, the artwork on the covers is made by our very lovely Marco Albiero, the Italian guy who's been doing all the illustrations. So, of course, the illustrations are gorgeous. They're the first illustrations of Sailor Stars we've ever seen.
Oh!
Yeah, they're really cool. So, I mean, that's the good part. We're getting to see all these new illustrations without having to wait for all the companies here to publish anything. I'm so happy for the Chileans because they're finally gonna get Sailor Moon and not so expensive. But like I said, personally, I want the talk boxes, and I'm just gonna wait the 10 years or however long it's gonna take them to get to whatever stars, you know. Yeah, that's about it about the Latin American DVDs. We're still getting them. Oh, also today we have like a first look at Talk Box Mars and Talk Box Jupiter, which are the new DVDs that are going to come out of season R. I'm not even going to say how psyched I am. All day morning. All morning long, I was like freaking out on Twitter. So that was a lot of fun. The Talk Box Mars is going to come out in probably in May.
Hmm. Well, speaking of news, in other news, Lindsay Lohan has appeared as Sailor Moon. So some of you who've been following Sailor Moon news for the last few years might remember a story 3 or 4 years ago from MTV. And they interviewed Lindsay Lohan, and she actually mentioned that she had seen a script for a live-action Sailor Moon movie.
Yep.
And she said that it is in like kind of pre-production in Hollywood. This was a few years ago, had been floating around, and she was potentially up for the role of Sailor Moon, but she hadn't signed any contracts yet. Nothing ever came of that. We just guess maybe Toei decided not to do it, or, you know, pulled back the rights or something for the movie. It just never got made. But now, funnily enough, she's guest starring on, what's the show called?
Anger Management
with Charlie Sheen.
Yeah.
With the crazy guy. Yeah. And she's dressed up as Sailor Moon in these kind of behind-the-scenes kind of photos. And it's not like an exact copy, obviously, to avoid copyright infringement and to avoid paying royalties, which is common in TV shows when people dress up as characters. But it is very much Sailor Moon. She's got the same, very similar, like, you know, schoolgirl outfit. She's got the blonde Sailor Moon kind of wig on. And it's kind of just very funny. Maybe it's a coincidence. Maybe it was her determined to become Sailor Moon one way or the other in the media. Mm-hmm. But, an episode will be airing soon. And it's kind of cool to see whether or not you're a Lindsay Lohan fan.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool to see Sailor Moon still appear as an influence in media. Yeah, and I guess also it will help get Sailor Moon back into the public eye,
mm-hmm.
or the new anime as well.
Yeah.
So whether it's a coincidence or not, I don't know. Probably is a coincidence, but still, it will help people. I guess remember their love for the show.
Yeah. In other news, Dan asked us to talk about this, and actually, it was kind of a big deal about the fan magazine that was being promoted on one of those Kickstarter kind of websites. From what I hear, or actually what I've read, is that this was kind of a big project, actually a huge project, of fan artists, mostly from DeviantArt, getting together, and they wanted to publish a book or a magazine with illustrations. There are a lot of us fan artists out there who would like to make our art, put it out there in the world. And this was going to be funded mostly by Moonies. So it was like a thing for Moonies, by Moonies. And so to gather funds in order to print out this magazine, they started a Kickstarter campaign. And a few days into it, they got a lot of money. And I'm talking a lot of money. $8,000, right? Eight and a half or nine? Something like that.
$8,500.
$8,500. Okay. So it was a lot. and there were a lot of artists involved in this project. A lot of them were famous, you know, even aren't famous, but you still. Mm. But the thing is, they got shut down because somebody put in a copyright claim and they could no longer go on with the project. What do you guys think? Is that okay? We're presuming it was Kodansha behind it because of the companies related. The company who shut it down is related to them. I don't know how people got to this, but basically they're saying that Kodansha is the one who shut it down.
Well, one of their, I think one of their lawyers actually contacted the people.
Okay.
It was on their Tumblr. They were talking about basically their Kickstarter being shut down. And I got the impression they weren't allowed to talk about the details.
Yeah, probably.
And they were still kind of negotiating it or, like, talking about it, yeah. Like, privately.
Yeah.
So it wasn't just like a YouTube video being removed. It was very much like someone's legal representation getting involved and officially, like, contacting someone. Right. So.
Well, Brett, you live in Japan. Can you give us, like, a general idea of what a doujinshi is?
Well, basically just a fan art, fan comic. It's really really the same as it's a fan comic. I guess like Chibi Gen's Moonsticks is a good example.
Right.
But doujinshi is people actually go to the effort of printing it out.
Right.
Whether it's just from a black and white photocopier or doing a more professional looking printing. And sometimes they sell them at fan conventions. I've seen a few that kind of professionally printed and for sale in store, but I got a feeling these are actually approved by the company that has the original license.
Mm-hmm. So how easy or how hard is to actually, like, could you walk into, like, a library or a bookstore and buy them, or do they have to be, like, specially...
Oh, no, you'd only really find them at conventions.
Oh, okay.
Kind of the fan-organized conventions.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've been to Sailor Moon fan events, and they had quite a few being sold there.
Right. I also remember seeing them at Mandarake and stuff like that. Were, like, used anime, secondhand anime toys and stuff like that. They have a lot of those.
Yeah, because people were, like, telling me to... this is actually a different issue with Sailor Moon t-shirts. Because there are a few sites, I forget the names, uh-huh. but every so often they have like a 24-hour t-shirt design that's for sale.
Yep.
And people were tweeting me going, oh my God, this site's doing a Sailor Moon t-shirt, can you promote it? And I'm like, no, I don't really promote bootleg merchandise because it's not officially licensed. And they're saying, no, it's not bootleg, it's fan-made. And my response to that is, fan-made is just a bootlegger who's a fan of the series. And legally, it's true. It's like when if you're fan-made and you're selling something for profit, or even if you're giving it away for free, you're still making something without the official license. So you are a bootlegger, pretty much.
It is totally legal. I mean, you're not going to jail if you publish a doujinshi, right? Like,
I think it is technically illegal, but it is up to the company's own discretion, who owns the copyright, whether they're going to follow through and actually do a cease and desist order.
Oh, okay.
So with this magazine, for example, I guess technically, like, us running a website with images from the Sailor Moon anime screenshots, that is kind of illegal. It's breaking copyright. Unless it's for like a DVD review, I think it's okay. Otherwise, seeing images is breaking copyright technically, but a company's not really going to go through and shut down every fan website because it will have a really negative effect on the fandom.
I don't know. It's like you said, it's such a fine line. I mean, for example, I draw wallpapers and I put them on my site and I give them away for free. Does that mean I go to jail because of that? I don't know, because that's kind of what was going on with these people, with these fans. They were basically just drawing what they love and gathering funds to print it. And that's, you know, I don't know.
Well, with the fans thing, well, again, like, I have nothing personal against these fans. I'm just purely, I think there's a lot of denial in the fandom about what's legal and what's not. And I definitely got a sense of this when having this discussion online this week. Like, there's a big myth that, for example, if you make something online and you're not making a profit, it's legal. Mm-hmm. Where that's not the case at all. Where it really is up to the company's discretion. Where, like, technically, I guess our websites could be shut down legally, they could say, sorry, you're breaking copyright. You haven't got the right to use this, these images.
Mm-hmm.
But we are really just counting on the company's understanding, I guess. And hopefully they see the benefit of fans running websites and promoting the series, because we offer so much more promotion than what they're doing currently right now themselves.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, so with the fan magazine, it's like they're saying, it's like, oh, we're fans. We're just, like, sharing our love for the thing. But when they started taking donations and almost got $9,000 donated money for it, and I think maybe they were going to, even after that, that was for the printing costs.
Yeah.
I think after that, they were even going to sell it online afterwards anyway, right? They weren't going to give it away for free.
Well, I have no idea, but...
So I think then, when they start actually taking potential money away from official productions and official merchandise, that's when the companies were like, we were understanding before, but now we have to step in, because now you actually are affecting the sale of official merchandise.
But see, I don't see it that way, because we don't have anything like that officially. Like, if they were reprinting the mangas and selling them, like, reprinting them in low quality, and then selling them, making them pass as a real thing, that would be bootleg. Or if they're duplicating GE's merchandise, like the keychains, they're duplicating them, but in a cheaper version, and they're selling them to make money, that would be bootleg. But this is completely different. This is creative process.
I think it's like intention doesn't affect what it actually is. It's like, I'm sure like there are bootleggers who put like a lot of effort and love into their pirated DVDs. And I'm sure when they're in court being like shut down by the, you know, the company's lawyers, they're like, but I love the series so much, I just wanted to spread the love for the series and show everyone how great the show is.
I know,
you know what I mean? But they're still making pirated DVDs.
Pirated DVDs is different from a collection of fan work.
Yes, exactly.
So it's a collection of artwork. You know, Kodansha would have probably gotten a better response had they said, okay, you've got this money to publish it, why don't we put our name on it? You know, we'll put it out there. It's going to be a fan tribute to Sailor Moon, and we'll sell it, and we'll make that money that we're so concerned about.
Well, there are licenses you can get for that kind of thing. Like, for example, there are unofficial Doctor Who magazines. There are unofficial Pokemon magazines. But the thing is, like, people get together, they form these, like, fan companies, and then they actually apply for the rights to make an unofficial production. So there is a correct way to go about this.
Well,
I totally support fans. I support fans and I love the fandom. I'm just saying I think there's a difference between being so into something that you love and then separating yourself from what is the reality of copyright laws and responsibilities.
Right.
So it sucks. It completely sucks, because I'm sure they put a lot of effort and work into it. And especially everyone who donated like all that money too, I'm sure they got that refunded.
Yeah, I think
I think a good example is like, let's say you made your own comic book series.
Yeah.
And then this third party, they're, oh, we love it. We're huge fans of yours. And they started selling a magazine featuring stories or artwork of your characters, not done by you or approved by you. So even if they were saying, like, we're huge fans of what you do, I think you would still have the reaction of, like, yeah, those are my creations, and I don't want you doing this without my permission.
Yeah, you're right.
Sorry, I sound like a real hard ass.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, I'm scared of you right now. It's kind of aroused, actually.
Whoa.
What did I tell you about the kinky stuff before?
Well, it makes sense. I just probably feel very bad for the fan artist, because I'm a fan artist myself and I would like to share my work. But yeah, I guess you're right, you know.
If they had been giving away the finished product for free, I'd probably feel that much more strongly that they should be able to do it. If they're making zero profit at it at all, why can't they just go ahead and do that?
That's what I thought this was about. I have no idea.
I think morally, that's fine. But even legally, technically, they could still be shut down, though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's like all those YouTube music videos, like Sailor Moon music videos that people make.
The fan dubs.
Yeah, the fan dubs, where Toei was shutting them down just because they're trying to protect how their series is seen. They're trying to control the marketing, control the image. That's really what it is, I think.
All right. Well, anyway, that's the thing. Sad, but that's the way it is. And, well, I still hope that those artists keep doing their amazing work, because I've been looking through some of these artist profiles, and they're amazing. They did a great selection. Mm.
It can be really disheartening.
Yes, yes, it can. Oh, well, in our last little bit of, before we go into our intermission, I just want to quickly mention that the new Sailor Mars t-shirt is now available in Hot Topic. I've lost track of how many shirts we have now.
I know.
It's cool, though. It's great that we actually get to say that. That we actually get to say there are so many shirts, I've lost track.
And by what people think, they do have, like, extra large, 2X large, and 3X large sizes. So a lot of fans were complaining that they were kind of like the super tight and small sizes.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go to this website, they do actually have, like, the extra large sizes for, you know, the taller than average person, or for any men, male fans who want to buy it too.
Or the fatties.
Or the fatties. But they do. They support everyone.
Okay.
Sailor Moon's embracing.
Oh. Okay, so, Echo, since you were super excited, can you introduce the intermission for us?
The intermission song today is called I'm Not Ready, and it comes from the Full Moon Collection, which is one of the English CDs. I think it was the third one to be released.
I have no idea, but I'm very excited to hear this. So we're going to play it, and then we'll be right back.
I'm not ready to grow up. I wanna be a girl. I wanna dance and party. I wanna be a girl, I wanna dance and party.
And we're back. So I am kind of pleasantly surprised by that song. I hadn't listened to it, and it's cool. It's pretty cool. And it's aged well.
Like a fine wine.
Yes, exactly. It tastes better with time. Let's get into other news. Mostly, this is like now the section where we're going to get into the heavy stuff, into the Japan stuff, the stuff we all want to know about.
Dude.
Deep. So, the first thing we have in our list is the Tokyo Anime Fair, and none other than Brad went to that. So, Brad.
Ta-da.
Ta-da. Okay, just tell us broadly how the event was, what kind of people were there. Was it very full of people? Did you see a lot of interesting stuff? Like, don't just tell us what we want to know, like, give us the whole image of it.
Well, first of all, thank you, Sissin, for reminding me about this, because I completely forgot about it this year. And, you tweeted me and was like, Brad, are you going to this next month? Go.
Yeah.
And, there were two press days, which I didn't go to because I had to work, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But I don't think I missed out on much. But I went on the first public day, and it was okay. It wasn't as big. Like, there's a Tokyo Game Show. Mm-hmm. The Tokyo Anime Fair is not as big as the Tokyo Game Show.
Okay.
Actually, it's space-wise, it's the same size. But the crowd is, like, one quarter of the crowd. There are lots and lots of stalls and presentations from different companies. But it's a very comfortable visit as opposed to the game show, which is like constant like sardine can the whole time you're there. I went there and they didn't have anything about the new Sailor Moon anime, unfortunately. They had quite a few booths and presentations for other new anime series that were coming out in the next 3 months or so. I saw a few Sailor Moon references. They had I think it was 40 years of animation. Celebration this year. This was the theme, and they had kind of a panel of each year of Japanese animation.
Mm-hmm.
And for I think 1992, Sailor Moon was the spotlight. They had one spotlight for each year, and Sailor Moon was the spotlight for 1992, and that was really cool to see. But unfortunately, for this year, 2013, they had a listing of new anime series, and Sailor Moon wasn't on the list. Of course, this is only March, so 3 months into the year. And I think any of the series I had on that list, which are yet to be released, they're coming out like in the next 2 months or so. So it doesn't necessarily mean that it's been cancelled or postponed until next year, but we shouldn't be expecting it, I guess, in the next few months.
Yeah.
But that was a bit disappointing. So I really was kind of hoping for some Sailor Moon presence
with it being
the 20th anniversary. And there was nothing in Sailor Moon at all last year, which actually was the 20th anniversary.
Yeah.
So a bit disappointing. I saw one Sailor Moon cosplay, which was a guy. So I tweeted a photo from the, maybe you couldn't tell in the photo, but it's like from the back, but it was actually a guy. And I really didn't see that much Sailor Moon at all. Just that, I think, one reference in the 40 years of Sailor Moon. And maybe, I think it was a magazine cover or something, but that was it. It was like next to nothing.
Wow.
Well, there was nothing really.
Wow.
My Little Pony had a booth because the American cartoon is started airing last week actually in Japan in a Japanese dub, and so that was a bit bizarre.
Wow.
But they didn't have any Evangelion booths there either, so no Sailor Moon could be taken either way, really.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And actually, Pokemon too. Pokemon had like one little poster, but that's like a huge thing in Japan.
Yeah.
But maybe it's up to the companies whether they want to promote or not. But Toei, who does Sailor Moon, had a massive Pretty Cure presentation. So it's not like the company wasn't there. The company was very much there, just choosing not to promote Sailor Moon.
Disappointing, really. But
yeah, it was. But I don't know. We've been deprived of any news for so long now. It's like.
Doesn't even hurt anymore.
I'm not expecting anything until like a week before it is.
Yeah.
The day of.
Well, the day after.
The day after.
Breaking news. It came out yesterday. Did we forget to tell you that? So,
yeah.
It is good. I guess, Osabu on Twitter is keeping us all informed.
Kind of.
Sometimes, I think he's doing the whole PR by himself. Also, like, no one else involved with Sailor Moon in Japan is doing any promotion. Like, the official site is not doing anything at all.
No.
Normally the day after something happens. Even now, they had that thing last night. Official site hasn't updated at all.
Yep.
But Osamu is always there, like, kind of tweeting. He's the editor of the manga, if those people didn't know. And, yeah, no one from the anime is doing any promotion. No one from the manga, nothing. He's doing everything.
Yes.
And I think everyone, like, fans the world over are very grateful for him keeping us informed.
But, you know, he's not really keeping us that informed. All his tweets are cryptic, and they're not clear, and we have to, like, go through his timeline to see what he answered to this other tweet.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's not like, he doesn't make a public announcement about anything. He just, like, randomly tweets with, if he's feeling like answering a few questions and,
But I appreciate someone saying, oh, we can't talk about that right now.
Yeah.
Other than just no one saying anything at all. So whenever he says, like, oh, we haven't decided this yet, I'm like, well, thank you for answering. It's,
yeah.
It's refreshing.
Yeah. He is telling us what he can, but like I said, he's not very informative. He's just confusing us more. And this is where we all started speculating that the anime might be delayed. So we haven't had an official announcement either if it's really coming out in summer or if it's been delayed. We have no idea. As officially, it's coming out in summer. Still, that hasn't changed. But the fact that there is nothing about it at the Tokyo Anime Fair, and because Osamu has been mentioning in a few tweets that it's been delayed or they haven't decided on certain things, it leads us to believe that it has been delayed. Because there were a lot of people telling me, well, where's your source? Where are you getting that it's delayed? No. We don't know. We're just assuming because of these hints of information we're getting. Sadly, that's the situation. We try to keep you guys informed as much as we can. We tweet any little piece of information we find. You know, we're trying to do as best we can, but it's really, really sketchy right now.
Yeah. No, I think it really does look like it has been delayed. Like, well, we're skipping ahead here, but the group who was approved or confirmed to be doing the opening theme song in the initial announcement, Momura Clover Z, they're on TV last night.
Yeah.
And they were dressed up. They basically did like their own live-action opening of the first Sailor Moon S anime opening, singing their Moonlight Densetsu song. And they're on the show. The show was 2 hours long. Their thing was like in the first 10 minutes or so, and it was cool. It was fun.
Mm-hmm.
But they were on there basically doing a Sailor Moon thing. They didn't really even mention that they're singing the theme song for the new anime. They didn't even mention the new anime at all. I don't think.
Yeah.
That was really bizarre because you think that would have been, I think the reason they were on there would have been to promote the upcoming anime.
Right. A lot of people, a lot of people thought they were actually going to sing the new theme.
Yeah. So it was really, really bizarre. I kind of assumed they would have been like, oh, and then we're going to be doing the new anime song too. Stay tuned for that. But
yes.
There was kind of nothing.
Yeah.
It was really bizarre. So only if you already knew about it, you would have understood why they were kind of doing it. It was really bizarre. So I don't know, maybe they were told not to mention them. Maybe they booked this appearance a few months previously.
Yeah.
And then they were told, like, before they do it, well, we're not ready for the new anime yet, so please don't mention it.
Yeah.
We don't want to promote something that's not out yet.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really bizarre. Because that was, like, yeah, a good way to promote it, and they didn't.
Mm. I guess a lot of us are just frustrated because of the lack of information. Today, Amanda Panda, she was tweeting that she is really sad that the Mooney spirit is so down these days. It's like everybody's sad. Yeah, well, she tweeted that. She just said that she misses people being excited about Sailor Moon because it's just been constant heartbreak after constant heartbreak. And like by now, we were assuming we would have the new mangas, which we're going to talk about that right now, the new Japanese mangas. And then we were going to be seeing previews and we were going to get that figure they announced like months ago. We didn't have the pre-sales for that yet. You know, it's just like they've been delayed on so many things that we're just at this point, we're just like, yeah, whatever. You know,
I just realized last night when I was like live tweeting the Momura Clover Z show is 2 months away from being a whole year since the initial announcement.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's been like 10 months since they actually announced the new anime, and we still haven't got any information at all. And, well, actually, 10 months since they announced the third generation manga release in Japan, and nothing.
Nothing.
And that was originally going to come out in, what was it, September last year?
October, and then October? They moved it to November, and then it's...
And then this disappeared,
yes,
yeah.
Yes.
And we got that tweet from Osabu about a week or so ago, where originally it was going to be called the Isobon.
Mm-hmm.
And it was going to be like A4, and it said color pages, but we weren't sure whether it was going to be just a few or every page colored. But now, after like half a year since the original release date,
yes.
He said, you guess what, guys? It's been delayed. And it's been renamed the Kanzaban, which means like kind of complete edition
mm-hmm.
in English. And the content and the design... is going to look different, basically rethinking the whole package. So originally it was going to be like A4 color, and now they're rethinking what they're going to do with it. They're going to do something else. But it's still coming. It's just, I think it's rethinking how they're going to sell it and promote it. My theory is because they have the art book they announced at Comic-Con, was it last year?
Yeah.
It's going to be simultaneously around the world in different languages. I'm actually wondering if this new manga release... they're actually planning to release that simultaneously around the world as well.
Oh.
And maybe they're waiting until Kodansha USA finishes publishing the English release of this current release of Sailor Moon, and then they will release worldwide this third gen. So everyone's had a chance to buy the second gen.
That would make sense.
And
yeah.
That kind of... that's my theory. And I think if they're starting to do the art books simultaneously released, and the anime itself, they said, is going to be simultaneously released... it would make sense that the manga too, they're probably thinking, well, we should probably do this at the same time too. Again, probably reduce importing and of other, you know, other countries' releases. Yeah, so I don't know, that's my theory. So I'm kind of expecting this like after volume 12 or after the two short story volumes, probably December this year, maybe.
Yeah.
Just in time for Christmas.
You know, if they would just tell us, just like the way you said it, if they would just tell us that, we'd be all way more, like, calmer and, you know.
Ooh, but I wonder if they're not telling us because they want us to buy this current release.
Yes, yes.
Because if we know this other one's coming, like, pretty soon, everyone's going to be like, well, screw this release. I'm waiting for the next one. Speaking of simultaneous release, this is actually kind of big news. There's a new website service that's popped up. It's called Daisuki, which is Japanese for love. Or like a lot. And it's basically several major Japanese animation companies, including Toei Animation. They've all gotten together and they've made this website. And apparently starting in April, which is now, but it hasn't started yet.
Okay.
But this month sometime, they're going to start releasing anime series on this website, subbed in English, and I guess sometimes dubbed in English too for consumption from Western audiences. Presumably America, but hopefully Australia, England, and Canada, New Zealand, other regions as well. It could even be released for like other languages as well. So they're going to use this website as a direct method of releasing their product within hours or days of the original Japanese release. So like One Piece anime has already done that, I think through Funimation, within 24 hours or something of the Japanese airing. But apparently now it's like a new method they're going to be trying to reach a broader audience because the anime industry in Japan is really suffering financially right now.
Oh.
They're just not making enough money. So, yeah, it's pretty exciting. And because we haven't got any English Sailor Moon re-release on DVDs or Blu-rays, I'm assuming that this is how we're going to get it through the streaming on this website where they want to basically make all of their money from offering Sailor Moon on the website.
Which is fine by me. I mean,
yeah.
if
hopefully it's going to be free because I got the feeling it's going to be like a free to view website like
yeah.
YouTube, but they're going to make their money from advertising
yes.
and also selling merchandise on the website too. So
yes.
It's going to be like a direct, a direct way to buy official merchandise as well.
Yeah. Like I said, I don't even care if I have to pay. I'll pay to watch it legally.
Oh yeah, totally. Me
yeah.
too.
Yeah. What else? Oh, about that, I don't know anything about this magazine. Okay, do you know anything about it, Brad?
Actually, I went out and bought it.
Yeah.
It was pretty cheap. So basically, there's a Tokyo fashion magazine called Tokyo Vivi, V-I-V-I. And it's actually a kind of a sister magazine to this other regular Japan general fashion magazine, which is just Vivi, I think. But yeah, so basically Sailor Moon made the cover. So they got this Japanese fashion designer, and apparently they say in the description that like her photo shoot was inspired by the images of Sailor Moon and Minnie Moon and Pegasus with their kind of white dresses and stuff. And it's a very, very general inspiration. But it's still cool. So Sailor Moon's on the cover with Pegasus and Chibi Moon, and I think about two or three pages on the inside as well. Images already that have been released, but very, very cool. So this is like a very big magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because they're obviously marketing Sailor Moon now to, well, this is, you know, 20-something, 30-something women age group. Where I guess like, well, Pretty Cure is targeted towards like, you know, the 3-4-year-old kind of comic book magazine kind of crowd. So it's interesting seeing it in this fashion magazine,
cool.
Which makes me wonder like if they are going to be targeting the older demographic for this release.
Well, they did mention something like that, that it's going to be for older fans, but also for new fans.
Yeah, yeah. But I think every release of anything ever has said that.
It's pretty. Also, I saw a few of the pictures, and they're pretty. So,
yeah, and I told Osobu on Twitter that I bought it, and he was like, "Thank you for buying it." So we're like this now. We're like super close.
Yeah.
I know. He totally faved one of my tweets. It was awesome.
Oh. Doesn't that make you excited when like celebrities, you know, do that, especially when they're related to Sailor Moon?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It was really. It is fun. I've had that a few times. With
exciting.
Delta Gundrum. Talked to me on Twitter a while back. That was bizarre.
Who?
Yeah, you're right. No, Delta Goodrum. She's a really famous Australian singer. But it's cool. Yeah. Celebs.
Yep. Well, I think we're done with our list.
Yeah, that's the news.
Yeah. So we had a lot of questions for this podcast. I don't think we've ever had this many questions.
I know. Well, the fandom is definitely picking up.
Yeah, that's great. And you know, I've been gaining followers like crazy. I have no idea where they're coming from, but...
No, it's been ridiculous, right?
Yeah.
Like, I've got like... Yeah, I've been shocked. Like, every day, like, the followers are going boom, 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 boom.
Yeah,
like, so many people following and joining in.
Me too. And it's crazy. I've never seen... Like, I'm so glad. But, you know, I'm just kind of nervous having to tell them that there's no new news.
I know. Yeah, if I had to do a shot every time someone asked me, like, when's it coming out and what channel is it going to be on?
Yeah.
I'd be drunk every day at 9 a.m. So, shall we get to the questions?
Yes.
do you want to do the ones that you've got first?
Okay, the first question, which is not really a question, is more like a comment. He says that people need to not give up on Sailor Moon because the reboot is taking longer, which I just mentioned that there is a little bit of negativity on the web because, you know, it's taking so long. So hang in there, Moonies. We're doing the best we can to report everything to you. And I'm sure Japan is doing the best they can, which for us isn't good enough, but they're doing it. They're good.
Wow. I guess. Well, who said that?
This was Sea of Bunnies.
Ah.
Yeah, that's her Twitter handle. I don't know what her real name is, though.
Well, don't tell me what to think and what to do. I'm going to give up on it right now. I'm done with Sailor Moon. I'm like throwing my earphones on the ground right now, walking out of the room.
No. We all love the series very, very much, and which is why we still do the podcast in spite of there being hardly any news.
But I think people only get frustrated because we're passionate about it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's exactly why. But
if everyone was just like, meh,
that's
a bad sign.
Exactly. If we didn't care, everybody would be happy. But the thing is, we care. So that's why we're a little bit unhappy. But we'll get there. We'll, you know, time flies, you guys. And then, you know, it's almost a year since we got the announcement. Just a little longer and we'll probably have the series. So, okay. Then the second one is from Miru-chan, which we've had her on the podcast before. And she always, always listened to us. And she always makes good questions. And hi, Miru. Miss you. Okay. So she, her question is, in your opinion, who is the character with the worst attitude in the series? Brad, do you have anyone in mind?
The worst attitude?
Yes.
I would say Sailor Moon.
Oh, get out.
Why? What the hell? Why?
Well, sure, the whole lovey-dovey thing, Love Conquers All is great. But, no, I think, like, it's just a bit on this. I don't know. I think she could be a bit more ambitious. Like, well, it's like, you know, the whole, like, everyone has their dreams. Like, I want to be a pop star or, like, a florist or whatever. But her dream's kind of just like, I just want to marry Tuxedo Mask.
Don't
like,
judge her. She can no, have her whatever dream she wants. Question.
14.
She dies, like, 4 times in the series. I think she is, she deserves to have her
dream. If
she was
more ambitious, she wouldn't have to go through that. No, I don't know. I just think, like, I don't know. No, she's great. You know, she sleeps in. Obviously, like, you know, it's comedic value and all that. But, you know, it was a question like, who has the worst attitude? Like,
yeah.
I think all of the main characters have a pretty good, healthy attitude about life, really.
Yeah.
But, yeah, come on, Sailor Moon. Like, I think she falls back on being Tuxedo Mask's boyfriend and a Sailor Scout a bit too much. Take those two away, and it should be like, ooh, I should study.
Yeah.
I need to get a job. But I don't know, I like the character. I'm just like, you know, the question was, who has the worst attitude?
Yeah.
Besides all those people who want to kill and destroy the whole universe.
Yes, exactly. Okay, Eku, did you come up with anyone?
I think possibly Anne from the second season.
Yeah.
Because, like, she doesn't deal with other girls, and she's all up in Tuxedo Mask Girl, but as soon as, you know, Elle has anything to do with another girl, she's all jealous and ridiculous, you know? Ready to destroy things.
But they were corrupted by the evil energy they would be getting.
But she'd totally be that without that, I think. She's that girl.
Yeah.
Bad attitude.
Yeah, she was like the token bitch.
Yeah. So, like, I think she has the worst attitude, which is really saying something about the series.
You know, she kind of had a reason. She wasn't sure what her past was. Well, she knew, but, you know, she was discovering these feelings because, you know,
she was
just
they had no parents to teach them.
Yeah. I mean, they're just floating around in space, and they were confused, and she likes the hot guy, but she also had this attachment to Elle. I can understand that confusion in her, and, you know, at the end, she ended up with, you know, a nice end. But for me, for example, the first person I thought of was Rubius. Is that his name in English?
Yeah.
He was just mad for no reason all the time.
I actually thought about him too.
Yeah. If you're if you're one of the bad guys, you really want a guy like that working for you. He won't question you anything. He'll just do it, and he'll do it good, and he'll do it pissed off. So
you give him perfume, he crushes it in his hand, and
yeah.
Behind everyone's behind everyone, there's a motive. There's almost always a motive of why they're like that, and most of the bad guys have a backstory. Like the four generals, they have a backstory. The Amazon Quartlet and Triplet, they both had stories behind them. The four sisters, they ended up like doing the makeup thing or whatever. But Rubius, he had nothing. He had no reason to be mad. And we have no background on his story. And he died, and he died mad. So to me, that's the worst attitude. You know, we didn't know anything about him, and yeah, so those are our answers, Miru. I hope you enjoy them. Okay, next one. Least and most likable aspect of the Outer Soldiers. What is it that you like the most about them, and what is it that you like the least about them? Eku?
Okay.
Yeah.
I like how powerful they are. Mm-hmm. And how mysterious they are. Okay. But on the other hand, I don't like how aloof and distant they are, and like reluctant to always be a part of the team.
Yeah. Brad?
Actually, my answer for both of them is kind of the same.
Okay.
So I think what's cool is, like, they can drive cars, fly helicopters, they're super rich.
Yeah.
But what I don't like is they're, like, what, 16 years old?
Yeah.
And they drive cars, fly helicopters, and they're super rich. Like,
sports cars, you know.
You can't actually do that in Japan. I think the driving age is 18. And I think we forget they're still in high school, right?
Yeah.
So they kind of they act like, and even they look like adults. And
yeah,
I always forget that they're actually students as well.
Right.
Except for Pluto. Like, Pluto's an adult.
Yeah.
But because I think she's, like, reborn as, like, I think it's Star. She's, like, she works at the school. She actually becomes a teacher at the school.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's a
spoiler. Sorry. Yeah. But everyone else, like Uranus, Neptune, and Saturn, they're all kids. And they're like, let's go driving in the car and let's fly a helicopter, sure. So responsible. So, like, they're breaking the law a bit there. But so it's cool that they do all that, but at the same time, it's a little bit, I don't know, a little bit. Sometimes the fantasy of the world frustrates me a little bit.
It's hard,
like,
to suspend.
I just think anime in general, like, they always have that kind of, like, you know, 12-year-olds who drive cars. You're like, okay,
no,
sure.
Really.
You either have to, like, accept all of it without question.
Yes, yes.
Or it'll drive you crazy.
Yes, exactly. And that's the thing. That's what I was going to say. You know what? You just have to accept the fact, just as you accept the fact that they come from outer space and they were reborn and all that
and
is part of the fantasy.
Well, she's got green hair. Sure.
Exactly, exactly.
Well, actually, I do wish that... Well, I do like that how Pluto, there's this kind of backstory about how Pluto has a crush on Endymion.
Yeah.
I think that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
But I do kind of wish that she would, none of them can have straight love interests. Well, no, it's a plot point, like in the Sailor Stars manga, where that all of their mission is to basically serve the king and queen.
Right.
That's why none of them have boyfriends. But then you have Uranus and Neptune, who are totally in a relationship. So apparently straight relationships will distract you from your duty. But so I'm sure, yeah, Serenity and Demian are like, we didn't say you couldn't date anyone. Feel free to mingle with each other. Have fun.
Okay, and then do you think they'll be in the new anime? Definitely.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm going to go on the opposite here. I don't think they're going to make it.
You don't think the anime will be...
I think this is going to be a one-shot of that first arc, like everything else. And then they're going to go, yeah, no, there's not enough interest. We're not going to continue with this. All that cool stuff that you like that comes later, we're not going to bother with.
That would be depressing.
Yes,
it would be
very
depressing, but I'm totally ready for it right now. Surprise me, Japan, please. Surprise me.
Prove her wrong.
Yes.
Prove me wrong. I like to be wrong and things like this.
No, I think they have to. I'm expecting they'll cover, like, all the story arcs. Whether it's going to be, like, maybe a 50-episode manga or, like, anime or a 200-episode, I don't know. But I do think they're going to try and cover from the first chapter to the last chapter in the manga.
I think we'll be lucky to get 26.
Oh, God.
We'll get up to Sailor Mars, and they're like, that's all.
We will, episode 13, there will be a beach episode, so everybody's in a bikini, and then it's all downhill from there.
So, what other question do we have? It says, whose transformation sequence are you looking forward to the most in the new anime? Better yet, besides the main soldiers, what side character do you want to see in the new anime the most? Okay, let's go for parts again. This was even McIsaac. Okay, the first question is, whose transformation sequence are you looking forward to the most? And, of course, I'm going to say Sailor Moon.
Everybody all at once. Sailor Moon!
I mean, they're always the girliest. They're always the longest. They're always the most pretty one. But,
actually, I'll go with Sailor Mars. Yeah.
Okay.
Way to be different.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, it's good.
I kind of already have an idea of what Sailor Moon would be like. You know, like pink and blue magic bubble sparkles. But, you know, but like Sailor Mars, I feel like could be, you know, more creative with the fire.
Yeah, fire, and then fire, and then a little bit more fire.
Yeah, right?
Okay. Eku, how about you? Who do you want to see? Also Moon, right?
Of course.
Oh, okay, cool. And then, besides the main soldiers, what side character do you want to see in the new anime the most? I don't know if this counts as a side character, but I'd really like to see the human form of Luna, Artemis, and Diana.
That was my answer, too. Yeah. I want the human forms of the cats and the crows.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm done with my Twitter. We still have Facebook, and I don't know if they answered on your Twitter issue.
Okay. I'll go through my Twitter while you're doing the Facebook.
Okay. This is a note from the editing room. Well, it turns out that for some reason, your stupid host, Cezanne, erased the major part of the podcast, which is the second half. And we had to come back and re-record it. But that day, our internets were not behaving. So there's a little bit of a distortion with Brad's connection mostly. Bear with us, Moonies. It's in there. You just got to squint extra hard and really try to pay attention to what he's saying so you can understand. Sorry about that. Hope you still enjoy.
Well, here's a question from John Philip Yu, who has a cool photo of himself scuba diving. And he asks, who's your least favorite Sailor Scout and why? Sisson.
I think I said it was Pluto. Just because I don't think she's like, I don't know, she's not that interesting to me.
Okay.
Mine would be Sailor Mercury. She's smart, but she doesn't have a whole lot of ambition for herself. I mean, when she does, she just gives it up because she's got friends now. Yay. You know?
What about you, Brad?
Yeah, I say Sailor Pluto too. Well, she's kind of got like the most complex backstory and I think the most going on out of all the main characters. But, yeah, I don't know, somehow she's still the most boring for me as well.
Yeah, like what we were mentioning last episode is that they didn't really develop her character that much. I mean, it's interesting, but we never get to, like, hear any or see anything of it. She's, like, quiet all the time.
All right, well, Miru asked, what's our favorite Lulu song in any language?
I'm a little bit biased with this because I grew up with this version, so... Moonlight Densetsu in Spanish, and also I really, 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 really love Last Soldier. I have no idea why, it's just like one of my big favorites.
Oh, that's a very good song, though.
Yeah. Mm. How about you, Echo?
I love the Italian themes, like especially the last one, Italia di Stella. Oh, I'm so brave.
Okay, Brad.
I love, we know I love the Japanese song, Moto Sekina Asaga Kuryo, which
right.
A more beautiful morning will come or something.
Yes.
Which is, I think we used that in our first musical interlude in episode 1, 2, or 3.
Yeah.
The idea of mini tunes. Yeah. One of the early ones.
Yeah.
And I also love the English transformation music and the song Carry On from the English dub.
Oh, very good pick.
Thank you.
Okay, what other question do we have?
Jess asks, what's something you absolutely do not want in the new anime? Me, Mamoru's ugly green jacket.
What's wrong with his jacket?
He's fluoro green. Keeps him safe when he's doing it night.
Yeah.
What do you want to see, Kitten?
I just don't want to see the really, 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 really long transformation sequences, like Pretty Cure, you know, like one thing and then the other and then the ribbon, and you know, it just gets tiresome. Animation might be pretty, I just don't want it to be too frilly. How about you, Echo?
I don't want to see it be all serious all the time. Sailor Moon serious business the whole time.
No. It has to be like, you know, lighthearted and it's silly, like what we're used to.
Right? I don't want Sailor Moon for reals this time, yo.
Yeah. I'd like to see, I don't want to see girly female characters. I'd like to see more empowered, strong, even if it's an anime, I guess it's just more Western female cartoon character type of personalities, I guess.
Yeah.
It can be strong Japanese personalities too, but I guess there's a trend now to make them more soft and weak, and even if they have the power to destroy the world, they're like, well, maybe I can do it, but
no.
You know, so I'm like, I don't want to see any girly, like super weak girls who are like, ooh, it's a boy, scream and run away kind of thing. Rather to the whole, well, he's hot, I'm going to ask him out. Here's one from Lotus QN.
Yeah.
And she wants us to explain what happened with Sailor Moon at the end of the third season in the anime, when Sailor Saturn goes to destroy Pharaoh 90. So, you know, she jumps into that giant energy vortex. There's like five sound effects.
Mm-hmm.
Explosion, and she's in the trance holding a baby. So, Sissy, what do you think happened?
Well, of course we know that she kicked ass, basically. Sailor Saturn, yes, with the glaive, with the Saturn's glaive, so I don't know. I just don't think we need an explanation of what happened step by step. You know, I really didn't need it, but that's just me. How about you guys? What do you think happened?
She used the power of her words, and they were so strong. She came out with a lot of scars, and her hair was messed up.
Yeah.
She used her words.
Yeah, it was a bitch fight in there.
Civil.
Yeah, they bitch slapped each other, and that was it.
I think they just gave Pharaoh 90 $50. It's like, hey, let's make it look good. The three that are like in that voice, like doing sound effects. You go, oh, you got me there. Oh no, I'm done.
Okay. What's the next question?
Headcraft. Do you think the new anime can live up to its predecessor?
Well, what do you mean? Because I remember a lot of episodes that were kind of silly and episodes that had no point and too many fillers. Yes, I think it'll live up to its predecessor and maybe even surpass it a little bit. We love it. We love the first one because that's the one we fell in love with and that's what all we know. But, yeah, I think they can up the stakes a little bit. I don't know what you guys think.
I'm pretty much on her porch shaking her cane at all the young children in their new Sailor Moon. I don't have high hopes, but please, just, you know, surprise me.
Yay.
Prove me wrong.
I think anime now is like, well, it's been over 20 years. So anime now is so different in vibe than they were 20 years ago. So going to be hard to compare, I think, because the styles are going to be so different. It's going to be, I think, next to impossible for it to have a similar feel to the old anime.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's not going to be a case of which one's better. I think it's going to be, I don't know, like, what do you call it? Like, maybe sister series.
Yeah.
Where we have both of them at the same time, like the live action show as well. You don't really say which is better, the anime or the live action. You have bits of these universes existing at the same time.
Yep.
Mm.
Yep.
Amelia asks, do you know where I can buy or download that rare orchestral Sailor Moon album? And we'll say, yes, was it CD Japan is a good place to go for CDs, Amazon.jp, any others?
No, I think that's pretty much, right now, I think those are the biggest ones, like the most reliable ones, so. Next.
Next. Here's a question in Spanish.
Read it.
Yeah, you're really
right. I'm studying Chinese right now, so I'm going to sound Chinese when I read it. Soi Tu Fan. Capitulo 169. Capitulo 10.
I have no idea what you just said.
And yes.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
good answer.
By which you mean C.
Taco Bell.
Taco Bell.
So I'm just scrolling and reading. Okay. Zach asks, do you think America will ever get Sailor Moon DVDs like Mexico?
Okay. The answer. The answer is no, because the Mexican DVDs are amazing. But realistically, though, I still think there's a little bit of hope, but I don't know when or, like, of course, with the new anime coming out, a lot of people are more interested in the new stuff. So if they're going to do it, they better do it fast. That's what I think. I don't know.
I don't know when. I don't know how. I'm starting now.
Okay. I think no as well, but because nobody really buys anime anymore. I mean, you can stream it on Netflix and you can download it wherever you want to. There's just no reason to collect anymore.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Even when it first came out, they didn't release all of it on VHS. They released all of the first part of the Doom Truth saga. They released a couple of episodes from different parts of the first part of the series on beautiful pink cassettes.
Oh, God.
It wasn't until...
We like pink and silver, like holographic.
I know. Colors. Fluorescent. Yeah. I know.
But it wasn't until, like, in the early aughts that they started doing DVDs and VHS had canon to it.
Yeah.
Bridget asks, what merchandise do we want to see come out from G Animation?
Well, actually, I tweeted them today that I'm desperate for an iPhone 5 case. They only have iPhone 4. But I'd really like to see, like, a complete set of I just sometimes I don't like that they did just make one or two things of one or two senshi, and then the rest, you know, you never get a complete collection of everything. I think the only complete collection we've had is of stickers, you know?
I want oversized towels with colorful pictures on them, like lots of different rainbowy colors, not just pink or blue. I love that they have all of the senshi on them, but I would like to see their respective colors. And oversized towel, because I want to be able to wrap it around me. But I would also like more stylized stuff, like keychains and things you can wear, but that's, you know, a simple symbol, not like glittery and pink, and I can wear out to dinner.
Yeah.
And be like, I'm still rocking Sailor Moon over here.
Yeah. I want transformation pen that you can use as pens.
Oh, okay.
So I can actually be like, they actually use those pens in the manga. I don't think they do in the anime. But have like a cool, like, transformation pen. I can, like, write with and study it or something. And that would be cool. And that'd be cheap as to make, too.
It's so easy to make, and they haven't.
Yeah, even if it's like a cheap plastic one you can stick on top of an existing pen, you know?
Yeah.
Here's a question from Allison. She wants to know, what's the twist we enjoyed the most in Pretty Guardian Sailor Moon, the live action?
Okay. Well, I watched the live action a good 10 years ago. So, so I hardly remember anything, but I do remember that I was really shocked because of the whole meal barrel situation that she had, like, this not split personality but like this projection. I don't know, it was so weird and so strange, but it was interesting. I was legitimately afraid of her. She scared the shit out of me. So yes, she was like, she's my favorite twist. Brad?
I like how Sailor Moon became the big bad by the end of the series, so it was cool that her previous past life persona was a real bitch. And she basically tried to force herself, like, to suppress her past life personality because she was going to wake up and go emo on everyone and kill everyone because her boyfriend died.
Yes.
I thought that was a cool twist. It was kind of a combination of the Sailor Saturn from the anime and manga.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was cool, and I like the final act. I've said 100 times to everyone, like, it's my favorite finale in Sailor Moon. Like, I thought the whole just the pacing, the acting was good, and yeah, my favorite episode out of any version of Sailor Moon.
Cool. Echo, do you remember
anything? So for me, the twist, my favorite twist, is that actually turned out to be good, despite the first few episodes where they're dance fighting.
Mm-hmm.
It took a lot for me watching through that. I was like, okay, it's going to get good. People have told me this is good. They're twirling around and affecting against my posture. That was a twist. It was actually good. It
takes a little bit. You have to, like, watch 5 or 6 episodes so you can, like, get over it. But yeah. Okay.
Well, Samantha says, I'm doing an English paper on the American censoring of Sailor Moon anime and the story's sexual vagueness of each character.
Yeah.
Do you have any opinion on the topic? Well, I guess first, what do you think about censoring of the anime? Sissin.
Oh, well, I don't know. It's a very sensitive topic. You know, I watched the uncensored version, and I'm perfectly fine. Nothing's it didn't screw me up, and also it didn't screw up all the kids in Japan who also watched it uncensored. But I understand that the sensibilities in each country are different. I just think it's not necessary to censor it that much. I really don't know what to say. Like, to me, it's wrong. And to me, it's just making people closed-minded. But, you know, that's just me, who I grew up in Mexico. And, you know, we have a different sensibilities. But how about you guys? Well, you, Eku, you were born here and raised here.
So, I grew up on the censored version. But I don't think I would have been worse off for an uncut version.
Mm-hmm.
With the same dubbed voices. I know very well I watched a lot more disturbing stuff. Like, I was rewatching All Dogs Go to Heaven. He goes to hell. Literally goes to hell and demons gnaw on him. I think I would have been fine with uncensored Sailor Moon.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, so with the censoring, it's I don't really mind it that much. The Japanese anime wasn't perfect. So I think people who complain about it being censored just because doesn't really hold that much weight. And also at the time, there wasn't censorship. There wasn't moderation of children's TV show time when the Japanese anime was made. There is now. So a lot of the stuff that was on the original anime actually probably won't make it to the new anime if it still has the same type of demographic.
Yeah.
Maybe the transformations, the body outlines. Like, I'm completely okay with that being fudged out because, I don't know, that, for me, that's not really a big important.
Yeah, it's part not. Of the it's anime. Not plot. It doesn't affect the plot whether you can see the butt line or not.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I've had conversations with people about this who they rape about. Oh, it was like raped and destroyed by, you know, the American censorship, and I've seen all episodes of both versions, and the story hasn't changed that much.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone can name any plot point that was changed dramatically in the English dub. The names were changed. For me, that's not an issue. And actually, Ed Jackson I've spoken to about the name changes, they're actually surprised. They expect names to be changed when an anime is translated overseas.
Yeah, yeah.
That used to be the thing.
Yeah. Well, it's not that they're exposed to American TV shows either. They just find it strange that someone else is going to keep the Japanese names.
Yeah.
Mm. So it's really not that much of an issue for me. I don't know if I watched the English dub. I'm really watching it now. It's a really super fun show. And I really do believe that for us, we got the same experience watching the English anime growing up as Japanese children did watching the Japanese anime growing up.
Yeah, yeah, the experience is the same, yes.
A lot of the changes made to characters in the English dub actually made several characters to the original manga that Naoko Takeuchi wrote. Like, the Japanese animators actually changed quite a few characters from the manga above. And the English dub actually, probably coincidentally, made him closer to the original characters. Like, Musa, who was straight in the manga, was made gay in the anime, and in the dub, straight again.
Yeah.
So you can see that change of censorship of, like, the anime, but the Japanese anime itself changed a lot more from the manga than the English dub did from the Japanese dub.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean?
Yes,
so, I know,
it's
a complex argument. Everyone has pictures about the English dub changing the Japanese anime.
Yeah.
But at that logic, you should be hating the Japanese anime because it changed so much of the manga.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you think about it too much, like, every version of Sailor Moon has changed. Every version's different.
Yeah. And they're adaptations, basically.
Yeah, so if you're going to be, like, one of the people who walks into the movie cinema to see The Hobbit with the book in hand and goes through it page by page, making notes on everything that changed from the movie, from the book, you're not going to enjoy the movie.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll do this.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So enjoy it.
Is that the last question, or do we have...
Sorry, there's been a few more recently. Basically, I think a lot of people, so Samantha again, and also Rose, are curious about the gender bending in Sailor Moon.
Okay, I discussed this with you, Brad, I think. I don't think Eku was around for that episode. But
no, I don't remember.
At all. Yeah, but...
You're lucky.
I remember. But, you know, like when I was a kid, I was completely blind and deaf about transsexuals and all this asexual, like all the different kinds of sexuality there is. And Sailor Moon basically opened my eyes. I just didn't know it was out there. And even though Brad might not like the portrayal of it, you know, because it makes them a little bit stereotypical, I still think it was interesting to, like, for somebody who had no experience with it at all, it opened my eyes that it existed and it is out there and it is okay. It's normal. It's normal because you can't cover your eyes that it exists out there. And I think it's great that they included it. That's just my opinion.
Eku, what do you think?
I mean, I'm good with it.
I'm good.
But I don't really know how to answer this one, you know?
Yeah, we're cool. We're cool.
We're cool. Yeah. I mean, I like it all.
Okay, Brad, you feel... strongly
okay,
about
I'll,
this?
I'll try to make my answer short.
Yes, make it short.
I'm a gay man, and I don't know, I am very aware. I teach children in Japan, and I really don't like the portrayal of gay characters in anime, and a lot of the time, they'll make a character gay to make the character more intimidating, or a villain. Now, a lot of the time, they'll make villains gay, or have, like, gay relationships with other villains, or other characters. And he said in the anime with Voicite and Malachite, or Kunzite, I think.
Yeah.
And they basically just made them gay. And I really think just to make them more scary or strange in the anime. And you see that with other characters too.
No. But Zoizite dies between flowers. And he dies in the arms.
They didn't make it romantic and stuff. But
yes.
I have seen, like, just on Japanese TV in general, similar portrayals. Like, they made Zoisite super effeminate, super stereotypical. And I've seen the influence it has on a lot of children in Japan, where they actually think all gay people are super effeminate and they speak a certain way. And, I don't know, just disconcerting, I think. And even Uranus and Neptune, like, to a degree too, like, there are superheroes and it's great to see superheroes who are gay, but again, they face certain stereotypes, and I've seen just the effect that has on a lot of children in Japan. So I don't know, it's I'm totally for pro good gay characters. Like, DC Comics has the Green Lantern now is gay. Oh, not the modern age Green Lantern, the Golden Age Green Lantern.
Oh, right, yeah.
They rebooted him as a gay man, which is cool. And, yeah, so they're all good role models. But a lot of the ones in the anime, and I love Sailor Moon, they really aren't, I wouldn't say good role models. I'm not of the opinion that having a gay character in itself is a good thing. I think it needs to be, until it's accepted universally, I think it needs to be a positive role model.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so I don't know. I just really...
Yeah, you have mixed feelings about it.
So Fiore, on the other hand, I really do like.
Fiore's amazing.
They kind of put a good balance there, I think. I could kind of think half of it was like, what do you call it, fan service.
And I ate it up. I ate it all up.
Yeah, I think half of fan service, half of it was done, I think, to make him extra creepy for the Japanese audiences, because, like, ooh, he's gay too,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And actually, I wouldn't be surprised if after Sailor Moon healed him, he became straight.
No.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I don't want that at all.
Yeah, no, definitely not.
Because we had that, I don't know, I've got a feeling in the anime, Zoe Side and Malachite, or Kunstide, were very corrupted by the Negaverse, and I wouldn't be surprised if in their past life and stuff they were straight.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
And then
yeah.
In manga, with Endymion, when he's, like, brainwashed in the first arc of manga, he's been kind of, then he hypnotizes Motoki, and they're very hands-on with each other.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes.
So the evil, therefore, he's gay too. I don't know. It's a very, very thing. I don't know. I still love Sailor Moon. I'm not doing a boycott or anything like that. But, yeah, I don't think having a gay character is the be-all end-all. I don't know.
Okay. What else do we have? Oh, wait. Tamara didn't ask that question. Who did?
That was... let me go back. That was Rose.
All right. Well, there you go, Rose.
I just wanted to know about what we thought about making them cousins in the English dub. As well. For me, that wasn't an issue because I think if Uranus and Neptune are defined by their sexuality, I think that's an insult on the characters because they have a lot more going for them than just their sexuality.
Yeah,
a gay man, and that didn't bother me at all. Because for me, their sexuality is the least most important part of those characters.
No, I think there's such a strong bond with those characters. Even the way they fight, the way they're ready to die for each other, the way one doesn't move without the other, it very much affects the dynamic of that relationship.
I just think, like, for me, the sexuality was... I don't know, maybe because I am gay, for me, it's not an issue at all. So they can make them straight or, I don't know, they've made Uranus a man in some dubs. And it's like, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, it never really, did it bug you, the cousins?
I didn't know they were cousins until I came to the States. I was like, what? What about you, Iku? Did that affect you at all?
Personally, no. No, I just found it really unnecessary.
To change
their relationship, because at that point, I mean, it was again early aughts and a totally different viewing audience.
Oh yeah.
And they were keeping so much else from the original. Like, why? Why bother to change that dynamic?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a stupid way to put it, but it's an appropriate an approximation. Like, it wouldn't be like they were super best friends or, you know, they're so close that they're related, so they picked some sort of relation.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I can see where they were going with that.
Yeah.
But also, it's like, every time they mention that they're cousins, it's always in a super obvious episode where they're a couple, where when there's episodes where they're not doing anything romantic, they don't mention it at all. So I think the producers were very much aware of what the fans wanted, and they just threw in, like, the cousin thing for the sake of any particular parents who are, like, walking by the kid watching TV at the time.
Yeah.
Like,
there's
one scene in, like, the romantic contest on stage, and it's just like, oh, they're on stage, and then, like, the Sailor Mercury doing a super fast throwaway line, and they're cousins! It's kind of like they just went through and just, like, threw that in just to kind of cover their tracks. So, I don't know, I actually watched it and I was thinking the whole time they're lesbians in my mind, and the whole cousin thing was just, like, slang.
Yeah.
For, like, hey, we're cousins. Because some people do that, they actually call each other cousins or sisters. So for me, I was watching it, they're like, yeah, they're saying cousins, but Serena and all the others, they just weren't picking up on the slang. And they just took it literally.
Yeah. Okay.
No, that's it. Just one last question from Rose, and that's it.
Okay.
Yeah, Rose says, do you know where I can find any other Australian movies?
Go ahead, Brad.
I'm Australian.
But where are the other ones? Where are the other ones? Where can she find them?
Well, all the Australians, we like to hang out in this cafe down the road. It's called...
it's very specific.
Outback Steakhouse. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. Well,
no, I don't know. Actually, a lot of, like, Corey from Fighter for Love, he's Australian. Chibi Jen, she's Australian. There's a lot of Australian Moonies on...
Lil Darian?
Online.
Lil Darian is Australian, right?
Yeah, Lil Darian, he's Australian. The whole Deadman Circus fan film, they're Australian. Australian fans everywhere. But don't limit yourself to just Australians. Exactly. There's a whole world of Sailor Moon fans, too.
I mean, I guess she means because she wants to meet people locally, local Moonies.
Wear your Sailor Moon t-shirt everywhere you go. And other Sailor Moon fans would be like, oh, I love that show. And then, bam, instant.
Yeah, instant friendship.
Sailor Moon-da. All
right.
Yeah, and that's it.
That's it? Awesome. All right. Well, then, Eku, do you want to add any final thoughts for this podcast?
No, but I love you all.
Aw. Brad, anything else you want to add?
Oh, I would just say thank you to everyone who helps donate me a new computer. It's arrived. I'm getting it all set up and organized, and hopefully in the next few weeks or so, once I'm all set up, I'll have new videos and a few new projects for everyone as well. So
hooray. Thank
you everyone who donated. Really super, super awesome of the fandom.
Woo! Thank you, guys. That's where the Moony power shines. Woo! Awesome. Well, I think that's it for this episode of Moony Tunes. This was Cece from the Sailor Moon Obsession blog. Bye, guys. And then also with us was Eku.
Bye.
And Brad.
See you guys. Sailor Moon Tunes.